review the vision for CORE, to remind people why CORE exists, what we're about, and how to... So I've called it Review, Refresh, Revision. Last week, I was up early in the morning, as I am these days. My sleep ones are 7 o'clock in the morning now, which is quite a change from what they used to be. So even on holiday, I was getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I actually found the sun's actually up at 7 o'clock in the morning, which was quite surprising. But I was watching a program, because Catherine's home to prepare for the service, and so I had Zach on my knee, and I was watching a program about the history of the All Blacks. And for those who don't know who the All Blacks are, they're the New Zealand rugby team. And it's talking about how they began, it talked about the history of them, and about the incredible passion of a nation for every young lad is to play for the All Blacks, to play for the national team. It's the very thing that if you ask a young person in New Zealand, what do you want to do? They say, I want to be an All Black. But they had a person who'd been one of the All Blacks for many years and had been had been recognized as a great player. And he was talking about when he's a young man or a young boy, that when he's 5 years old, his sole ambition was to become an All Black. And so he postured his life towards that reality. And one day he went to the different sort of the different club level, all the way up to the time where he got a possibility of being picked for the team. And one day he got picked to be an All Black, which meant putting on the black All Black shirt, which is the dream of many young men in New Zealand. And it was the day of the game. And as he realised the incredible, the awesomeness of being invited to be an All Black, he's sitting in the changing room, just reflecting on putting on that jersey. Anyway, the game happened. He got onto the pitch, the whistle blew, the game started, and out of the blue, one of his friends or one of his fellow members threw the ball to him. He caught it and ran straight to the line and scored a try. His first touch of the ball, he scored a try for the All Blacks. And when I was reflecting on it, I felt this is a bit like what the Lord calls each one of us to do. When we say yes to Jesus, we put on the top. We become part of his team. And when you're part of this team, he's waiting to give you the ball. And when he gives you the ball, you've been trained, you've been anointed, you've been called to put that ball over the line. You can't do it unless you put on the top. But when you put on the top and respond to God's invitation, you're ready. Because he's called you, he's anointed you. So when he passes the ball, passes the baton, you're ready to take part in what God has called you to do. So the invitation this morning, the invitation to each one of us here, is to participate, to get involved with what God is doing upon the earth. So what has God called you to do? Where has God called you to do it? And how will you respond to that invitation? At CORE, the invitation is from Jesus, and it's to be part of what he is doing on earth and in our situation, Dublin. He wants to activate our gifts, our time, and our money for the service of his kingdom. He wants you to be part of his team. Jesus understood his ministry and how he understood who he was in light of the words from Isaiah, which is very well known in this church. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So the anointing upon Jesus that came in his baptism was for his ministry. It was so that he could do what God had called him to do. His ministry was about preaching, proclamation, recovery and release. He came to preach good news to the poor. He came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. You see, the ministry of Jesus is key to the growth and the health of the church. The ministry of Jesus is key to the health of our community, our city, our nation, and beyond. And Jesus' ministry started when he proclaimed his kingdom. If you turn with me to Matthew 4, I'll quickly run through this motif of Jesus' ministry. Relating to the prophecy out of Isaiah, it says this: the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus was baptized, he was led into the desert, he was tempted. He then came to start his ministry. When he started his ministry, he was bringing light into the land, into the shadow of death. He was suddenly going to bring light into darkness, and he's going to bring a great light to those who do not know him. And his words as he ushered in the coming of the kingdom were this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, the light has come. Suddenly those in darkness are going to see God's light. So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. When he spoke those words, he unleashed the power of heaven upon the earth. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom brings his authority and power to undo the work of the devil. It comes to establish his kingdom upon the earth. When his kingdom comes, it is not fully realized now, but we see signs and symbols of it as we minister his healing power. And for instance, when we pray for someone, they don't always get healed, but we believe that God heals. One day, everyone will be healed. Do you understand that? So his kingdom partly comes, but we also believe that God has come to heal all diseases and all illnesses. And so we believe that God can bring that amongst us. And ultimately, one day there'll be new heaven and a new earth, as God always intended to be. That's a realization of the kingdom of God coming, establishing a new heaven and earth, the old dying away, the sorrow, the sadness, the pain. So in the midst of this, we are called to be kingdom people. So in this, we have Jesus declaring the kingdom of God. We then have Jesus calling people to come and be part of the kingdom of God. It says this: as Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. He said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom, he called people to be part of the kingdom, and then what did he do? He modeled the kingdom. It says this: Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. So he proclaimed the kingdom, he called people to be part of the kingdom, he modeled the kingdom, and in chapter 10, verse 5, we see this. At the beginning of chapter 10, it says this: he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So he gave them authority in order to be kingdom people. Then what do they do? It says this in verse 7: as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So we have God proclaim the kingdom, call people to be part of the kingdom, he modeled the kingdom, and then he called his people to be kingdom people. See, the outwork of Jesus' ministry is through the church. Jesus called us to carry on his ministry until he returns. It is through the church, through God's people, that the kingdom of God is manifest. So the kingdom of God through his church is displayed, it is demonstrated, and it is made known. We are signs and symbols of the coming of the kingdom of God. It says this in Ephesians: his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So through the church, God's wisdom is displayed. Through the church, he makes known to rulers and authorities in heavens his eternal purposes. What are his eternal purposes? That through Christ, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so our first call as a church is that we're a kingdom church. We've been called to be ministers of God's kingdom. God's in charge of his church, and it's to him we look to as the king. And so what I want to do now is to remind you of the vision of CORE, and if it's unfamiliar to you or if it's something you don't understand, take the time to look at the website, because we spend a lot of time articulating who we are, what we're about, and how to get involved. The vision is this: those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. And in Ephesians 3 it says this: the mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. And so the invitation here is those on the outside looking in. So those who are on the outside are often those who do not know God, or those who feel outside of the church, or the people inside the church who may feel outside of God's purposes. They're the people that God wants to invite in to become part of what God is doing with us in the church. The invitation is to move from observer to participator. So when you're looking in, you're not participating, you're watching. But God wants to invite you from seeing what God is doing to participate what God is doing within the church. So you can't learn to swim unless you jump into the water. You can watch as much as you like, but unless you jump into the water, that you learn to swim. And there's those around each one of us who can help teach us to do just that. And Paul's prayer is this: I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You see, as we activate your gift, in this particular instance, it's sharing faith. But many of us here are gifted in many, many different ways. And God wants to activate our gift so we understand more fully all those things we have in Christ. Because when we observe, sometimes it's good to observe. I mean, often we look to see, well, is it worth being participating? I understand that. But there comes a point where we have to step across that line to be part of what God is doing, so that you can join with us in reaching out to those who do not know Jesus. So how can you activate your gifts and be part of fulfilling the vision of CORE? Well, the vision of CORE I've broken down into four components. One is to welcome the outsider in. Two is that worship will be the sign. Three, that we're a community of transformation, which I've called in work. That's the in work, the power of God to transform us. And being turned inside out is the outworking, is taking what God has done in our life out to those who do not know him. And with any vision, with anything that God calls us to do, some will get it and some will not get it. The example I'd use, as I often use sometimes, is the whole idea about the magic eye, isn't it? Do you remember the period of time we had the magic eye where you get given those cards and you see this kind of frizzy front on them, and they say, well, if you look at them for long enough, you'll see the floppy bunny. Do you remember that? And you look at it and you think, oh, I can't see that. What on earth is going on here? I can't see a floppy bunny. I can see this and that. But then one day you see it, don't you? You get it. You suddenly see it. And when you see it, you cannot stop seeing it. You'll always see the floppy bunny. The same way, my dad was out in Russia a few years ago, and he had been at a meeting, and he had told a couple of jokes which weren't particularly funny, but he enjoyed them, which is kind of a very Kissel tradition. We do like our own jokes. It's not always the same for everybody else. But he had told a joke in the evening and amongst the people, and there was absolutely no response whatsoever. And so it's obviously quite despondent, but no doubt my dad would have enjoyed it. He would have had a good laugh on his own. But anyway, the next day, the people who had been at that meeting invited him round for a dinner around their house. And there were many, many people around the house at the time. And as they were having the dinner, suddenly someone started laughing and could not stop laughing and laughing and laughing. And my dad asked the interpreter, why is he laughing? He goes, I've just got your joke. It's like the kingdom of God. You suddenly get it. Jesus told a parable about this. Bang! Someone suddenly gets it. It explodes into people's lives. It awakens people. It challenges people. It changes people. Suddenly, you get it. And when you get it, what are you going to do about it? And so the vision here is those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. So the first value is to welcome the outsider in. So we want to be a church that welcomes all who come through our door, learning to show the love, hospitality, acceptance that characterize Jesus' ministry, so that those who are on the outside are welcomed in. And so we understand that so the welcome ministry is an incredibly important part of our church. And I understand that it's a process of learning. We make mistakes, we get it right, and sometimes we have a good day, whatever. Our commitment, our posture, is to be a welcoming church that makes people feel welcome. And so the first part of welcome, to be a church that welcomes the outsider in, is the people within the church. We are the welcome. What we are like reflects very much what our church is like. And so it's important that we look out for those who are new to this church or those who are passing through. Because it's a very daunting process coming into a church. It's quite a scary process, and it's to help people feel at home. We've got the welcome desk, which is under development, where we're helping people connect with the church and with the ministries and how to become part of what we are and who we are. We've put a website together, which I recommend you looking at it, which is corechurch.ie, which says who we are, what we're about, and how we get involved. You know, take the time to read it, because many, many hours have gone in to try and articulate as clearly as we can who we are and what we're about. We have a Step Up, which is a meeting on a Monday night for those who freshly arrived in the city. Many of them happen to be international people arriving in the city, but it's not exclusively to those. It's for all those who've come to the city for the first time and want to get knitted in with the community. And I know what it's like when you first come to a city. It's quite a lonely place, because you've got no idea how it works. And it seems like everyone else does. But when you can be in a place where you can build a relationship with people who, one, want to welcome you, can begin to help you out and begin to make you feel at home, that is part of what we want to do, is welcoming people in. We want to have socials, opportunities for us to get to know each other as a church, but also to invite people along to build friendships, relationships in the community. And in the future, we want to open the church up for things like coffee mornings, childcare facilities, mums and tots, parenting courses, discipleship courses, etc., etc. And that's why we're in the middle of purchasing the building next door to the church. We want to open the church up. We want to open the back of the church. We want to provide a really nice kitchen with an eating area and a sitting out area. We want to have the back of the church where we can have childcare facilities, so we can have mums from the community, whatever, coming into the church. We want to have on different groups during the day. We want to be a church that's not only a worshipping community, but is actually a resource to the community. And so that's part of our vision, is that during the week this church will be opened up and resourced to those out there who that we can help get alongside them and build a relationship with them. And part of Rob Jones coming on as curator at the church is to help facilitate the welcome ministry in the church, so that we can really put some time and effort building the teams and doing just that. The second value is this: worship will be the sign. So we want to be a church that worships Jesus in both spirit and truth, because that is the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. We believe that worship of Jesus is key to the life and mission of the church. The prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47 sees a vision of a restored sanctuary. And we believe that as we begin to establish good foundations in the church, they restore good teaching, good worship, as in music, prayer, all the different sort of components that make up worship. It begins to create a fantastic foundation for God to move, and we begin to see signs and symbols of that. And when the sanctuary is restored in Ezekiel, the water begins to flow. It starts as a drop out of the back of the church and begins to flow from a drop, then it's knee high, waist high, and then it becomes overwhelming. The most amazing thing about the river that comes out of the church in Ezekiel is this, that it changes the unchangeable. When the fresh water enters the Arba, which is better known as the Dead Sea, it changes the water into fresh water. And so what is it? An insight is that through God's Spirit, that he can change the unchangeable. And so out of our worship of Jesus, God releases Holy Spirit like a river. As the river flows out of the church, it rebuilds, restores, and revives the lives of the people, the community, and beyond. So we want to really invest in the worshiping life of the church. We want to grow together in our worship and our knowledge of God. We're very fortunate in this church to have Rob as a curate, Jack Heaslip as associate pastor, helping develop the leading teaching, preaching of the church. We want to bring other people in as we see fit to help give definition on what we're doing as a church. We're bringing other people outside the church to come and teach, to encourage us, and that's what we're going to beginning to do this next term and the terms to come. We want to develop the worship and the arts in the church. We're looking to develop the worship again, looking to see whether we need to get a full-time worship leader in the near future, to develop a team of worshippers, to work with the fantastic resources we have in the church to develop the arts. In the 19th of November to the 21st, I've invited David Roos to come over with his band to lead during the week an evening, three nights of worship in the church. He's got a real heart for the prophetic worship. He's got a real heart for releasing the arts in the church. He's also got a real heart for bringing that into social justice. And he's going to come along with his band to come and to teach us on that, to spend some time with the worship team here, to come and minister to us. And he's a fantastic guy. I met him at a conference I was speaking at over the summer. And we spent 2 hours in the washing machine, in a kind of a washing room, whatever you call it, laundrette. We spent 2 hours just talking about the kingdom, about worship. And it's just like two little boys having a laugh. It's just absolutely fantastic. And it's really exciting to see what he's got in his heart. We want to develop the prayer in the church, because prayer is the key to seeing anything of God's kingdom become a reality. We have the hot houses, which are every other Monday night, and this Monday we had a fantastic evening. I got contacted a couple of weeks ago from a group from Liverpool who are they've got a prophetic ministry, and they said they're coming into Dublin, and they've got a real heart for Dublin, and they'd really like to come along and come along. So I suggested they came along to the hot house. And what I said to them, I said, just come along and join with what we're doing. So I wasn't quite sure who they were and what they're about. You never quite know who's going to turn up. So they arrived, and there's about nine of them. And they were just, their first impressions of meeting them was they're just such a lovely bunch of people. Anyway, they came in and they sat down and they began to worship with us. And then one of the ladies there said, would it be okay if we shared something? I said, that'd be great. And then they said, would it be right if we ministered to you? So there's about nine or ten of us from the church, and they ministered for about 2 hours with each one of us. And we had a fantastic evening. And one of the ladies brought one of these big chauffeur things. It was going, it was pretty much like that. It's absolutely wild. I tell you, when you get the prophets around, they're absolutely nutcases. But it's absolutely amazing the words they spoke over this church. And part about one of the things they spoke was about drawing a line and leaving the past behind. And they're praying in the very things that God has for us as a people. And that they were just breaking what has happened historically and saying, enough's enough. It's time to move on. And it was just wonderful. And we were just having such a great time. And it was such an encouragement. We were crying and laughing all in the same time. It was just a real encouragement as God ministered to us. We have the Lydia prayer group that meets every once a month, second Wednesday in the month. And that's very exciting as women are beginning to take the time to pray. We've got Amy overseeing the student prayer group and also developing links with 24/7 prayer initiative. And then on the 12th of October, we're going to have a half night of prayer at CORE, where we're going to coordinate the small groups to come together on a Friday night from about 7 to just after 12. And off each hour, small groups is going to oversee the beginning of the prayer time, setting out a bit of worship, something from the scripture, and then just begin to lead us into prayer. So we just want to build that up. We've got the prayer ministry team, which we're going to be doing some more training, inviting those who've got a heart to minister to come and join with us, because it's the more people that get involved with what God's doing in the church, the easier it is for each one of us. If we share the load, so much easier. And we only have to do a little bit. If we all do our little bit, it's so so easy running this, but if only a few of us do a lot of it, it's exhausting and people get burnt out. So I want to encourage you, what has God called you to do? How are you going to activate your gift? And we want to help facilitate that within the church. Thirdly, as I'll quickly fly through the last bit, the third value is that we're a community of transformation. And so out of the worship of Jesus, he releases his restoring power that transforms our lives. So we want to be a church committed to welcoming the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And I've called that in work, because it's a work of God inside us. It changes us because God wants us to be like him. So by God's grace, we grow in Jesus' likeness and character, because transformed people transform community. We understand that as the church gets bigger, it also needs to get smaller. We value small groups as a place of personal growth and transformation, empowering and activating God's people for the service of the kingdom. And Graham Jones, who's over there in the corner, is overseeing the small groups within the church, helping to develop places where people can grow in their faith. They can learn how to worship, to teach, to preach, to pray for each other, to minister, to get involved with the church. And it's a wonderful resource to the church. It's a wonderful resource to people. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, to be part of that. Other small groups involve children's ministry, youth, student work, men's work, the Esther, Mums and Tots, etc., etc., etc. We're also looking in February time to start an alpha-type discipleship course, which we're beginning to plan and put in place. So for any of those who have people they know who are interested in Christianity or interested in God or do not know, want to make sense of this world, we want to invite them to come along to that in February to begin one of those groups. We've got our pastoral team, which will be explaining more in more detail the next few weeks how that works and how that operates within the church. We spent many hours, many meetings, just praying and working through how we can make a pastoral infrastructure in the church that really cares for the people of this church. And one of the first places of pastoral care is the small groups. So if you're looking for that support, I just really want to encourage you that small groups are the primary place of pastoral care of the everyday, the day-to-day. And so I really encourage you to look to joining one of those. We also want to develop resources, pastoral resources, in the church and outside of the church so that we can help people going through different situations in their lives. We've called the resources the innkeepers, and let me explain what that is. If you know the story of the Good Samaritan, there's a person who's been beaten up and he's on the road, and we've got the religious people walk by and ignore him. But the Good Samaritan comes along, sees the person on the ground and they're bleeding. So what does he do? He gets some wine and he gets some oil and he ministers to their immediate needs. But then what does he do? He finds an innkeeper who can bring the person to health. So us, the church, so often we are like the Good Samaritan. We can do the person that comes in who's going through a difficult time, we can pray with them, we can get them a cup of coffee, we can welcome them. But sometimes their needs are bigger than what we can do. So we're looking for resources that can help us because they're experts in their particular field. So within the church, we'll be looking for people in parenting courses, marriage courses, baptism, prep, etc. But outside the church, people are experts in marriage guidance, in counselling, in bereavement, in debt advice, whatever the needs present themselves, and we can't deal with them. We're looking to build up expertise with agencies within the community that can provide expert help in order to help people through their difficult times. Thank you, Zach. And then finally, the last value is this, that not only do we get blessed, that we get transformed, that God does a work within us, we need to take that out because we are part of the good news of the kingdom of God. So we've been commissioned, as Jesus was anointed, we also have been anointed to preach good news to the poor, to be anointed to preach good news to the poor, to claim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. We've been called and commissioned to be part of what God has called us to be his hands and feet within the place that God puts us. So as a church, we want to learn how to take the Father's love and the community, the city, the nation, and beyond. That's the outworking of the kingdom of God. And in the church, we have many outworkings of that, which I'll quickly fly through very briefly. We have Kids Club, Solace After School Project, we've got Prison Ministry, Liberty Saints, Bingo Nights, Grandma Nights, Trips to Nepal, which I won't go into all the details of those, but please look at the website, and we'll have another time where we will go into details about those. But as I bring to the conclusion, is this, that God ushered in the kingdom of God. He's called each one of us to be part of the kingdom of God, and it's for us to respond accordingly. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom, he called people to part of the kingdom, he modeled the kingdom, and he sent out people to participate in the kingdom. Core church's vision is this, those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. The invitation is to move from observer to participator, from seeing what God is doing to participate in what he is doing. Jesus wants to activate our gifts, our time and money for the service of his kingdom, and he's called you. And in concluding it says this, this is what Jesus says. Let's shut our eyes and just let these words sink in. As Jesus speaks to you and speaks to me, he says this, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my commandment. Love each other. Amen. I'll hand over to Rob who can do the next bit of ministry or whatever.